Chapter 22, Collaboration. As a Staff Plus engineer, much of the work involves collaborating with fellow engineers, managers, product people, business stakeholders, and others. In many cases, it isn't you who initiates a collaboration. People come to you. The most challenging projects are rarely hard because of the code to be written. Often, the main pain point is working with others, and the feeling this creates of herding cats, referring to a task that's difficult or impossible to organize. As you collaborate with colleagues, it's inevitable you will get involved in internal politics to some extent, or be perceived as involved in it. Why? Because people are political animals by nature, according to one piece of ancient Greek wisdom. Collaboration involves people in your network, while your influence creates opportunities for engineers in your team. It's a differentiator in career success, which is why we're focusing on it. In this chapter, we cover 1. Internal politics. 2. Influencing others. 3. Collaborating with managers. 4. Collaborating with staff plus peers. 5. Expanding your network. 6. Helping others. 1. Internal politics. Internal politics, aka office politics, has a bad reputation among many software engineers. If an individual contributor, IC, or manager is known as political, it almost always has a negative implication. It usually means someone makes few to no technical contributions and uses others to get what they want, sometimes employing manipulation for personal ends. What about being seen as influential? Is this so different from being political? Influence usually describes a colleague with strong technical skills who also excels at gathering support for initiatives that benefit their team or organization and not primarily themselves. In reality, politics and influence often go hand in hand, even though we perceive a political colleague and an influential one differently. Influence is a good form of internal politics. That's why if you want to support your team and progress your career as a software engineer, it's helpful to be seen as influential, but not political. The wrong type of politics. The label political gets a bad rap because it often describes activities seen as self-serving and for the benefit of one person or group at the expense of others. It's worth avoiding being seen by colleagues as making their lives more difficult in order to benefit yourself or your in-group. When success depends mostly on informal soft skills and networking ability, this feels wrong. Most developers I know, myself included, believe software engineering should be objective and based on the merit of ideas, which is why many engineers disdain internal politics. Perception matters. You may do something selfless, but if colleagues don't have the full context, then your motivation could be misunderstood and interpreted as self-serving. Take the case of a staff engineer who's on a promotions committee, which decides a senior engineer's compensation package who's on the staff engineer's team. The proposal is rejected after the staff engineer fails to endorse it. Did the staff engineer act selfishly by not sticking their neck out for their teammate? And what was their motive? Was it political? And who benefits? Certainly not the senior engineer getting no pay rise. Surely the staff engineer must be the beneficiary in some obscure way? Questions like these, which are hard to answer without being in the room where a decision is made, can lead people to assume their colleague is playing the wrong type of politics. In reality, it's perfectly possible that committee members had to recuse, omit themselves from voting in cases of conflict of interest. And it's perfectly likely the staff engineer did this by not having input into a decision about their team member. However, it's easiest to assume the staff engineer sabotaged the proposal by not voting for it for some reason. This gets the all-important question of motive wrong in this case. The staff engineer acted in the higher interest of impartiality by declining to take part in a decision in which they had a direct interest. This example shows why it's hard to make an accurate judgment without the full context. In practice, people fill knowledge gaps with assumptions. That's why perception and context matter. Problematic perceptions. Being self-interested. If someone is perceived as caring only about their own projects and work, then they will make few friends due to appearing fixated on personal advancement. Who wants to work with or help someone who gives nothing back and uses others to benefit their personal ambition? Elbowing colleagues out of the way. Even worse than being nakedly self-interested is to be seen as someone who actively pushes others aside in order to climb the career ladder. For example, an engineer who hogs a project and blocks contributions from others so they can get all the credit should not be surprised if teammates perceive them negatively. Being inflexible. Engineers who show no flexibility when discussing proposals and just push their point of view can be seen as pursuing a personal agenda. This is especially true if they pull rank rather than use rational arguments, with words to the effect, "I'm a staff engineer and this is how it should be because I say so." Being two-faced. Saying different or contradictory things about a topic to different people can create an impression of being manipulative and of pursuing a personal agenda. Once there's a perception that somebody behaves like this, colleagues' trust in them typically plummets. Bulldozing their will through. One frequently applied leadership principle at Amazon is, have a backbone, disagree and commit. This encourages colleagues to disagree while a decision is being made, but to commit and bury disagreements after it's made. This disagree and commit mentality exists at many companies. However, this approach can become weaponized when someone forces a commitment in the absence of agreement. Forcing through initiatives can be efficient in the short term, or when in wartime mode, but it's an approach that rarely wins friends. Distrusts other engineers. Some experienced engineers delegate engineering work to less experienced engineers. This is great. However, if they find the less experienced engineer is doing things unconventionally, then they take this work back from them. Doing this fosters a perception of a lack of trust in colleagues and can create a negative perception, meaning less experienced engineers may avoid seeking advice and guidance from their highly experienced colleague. All talk, no coding. A special breed of political animal is the experienced engineer who never codes. This is a tricky perception because engineers are expected to do far less coding as they climb to staff and above levels. They simply don't have time to be hands-on due to working on other priorities. Still, staff and above engineers who never touch the code base, are never on call, and push through changes which impact engineers in ways they disagree with will often be seen negatively, as aloof and hands-off in decision-making. Giving feedback on bad politics. Feedback matters because its absence usually makes things worse. It's unlikely a software engineer arrives at work thinking, "I'm really looking forward to behaving selfishly, being out of touch, and manipulating my colleagues." And yet, some people generate precisely this impression. So, what's happening? Missing out on feedback is a common reason why engineers behave in ways that others perceive as political, and they often have no idea they're perceived like this. But it's often challenging to give this kind of feedback. However, I'd argue that as a teammate, there is plenty you can and should do to help someone see how their actions are perceived. If you're a peer of a political person, give feedback directly to them or to your manager. Your choice will depend on your relationship with the person in question. My suggestion is to give direct feedback where possible, but this can be challenging if there's a lack of trust. If you're senior to the political person, give them direct feedback. Aim to describe specific actions or events and get their side of the story. Suggest how they might change their behavior if their intentions were different from how they were perceived. If you're junior to the political person, give feedback to your manager, as it might not be appropriate to give direct feedback. But it's your manager's job to hear your observations and then decide how to proceed. 2. Influencing others. It's wise to avoid creating the perception of being overly political. Nonetheless, the ability to influence engineers and managers is often important, while being a form of good internal politics itself. Here are a few situations where being influential can help. Getting proposals accepted. You have a proposal for a new system with lots of upsides versus the current setup. You're convinced this proposal will be a large benefit to the organization if only others could see it. Pushing back on an initiative damaging to your organization. A mandate comes from above to move to a new system. However, you see the new system has too many gaps, meaning your team would have to do a huge amount of additional work to fill them, or customers will lose functionality. Neither option is acceptable, so you have to tell the decision makers. Making a case for your teammate's proposal. A member of your team has a really good proposal that's not winning support, including from your manager. You think the proposal has merit and should be discussed at team level, given its positive business impact. You could leverage your influence for your colleague's idea. Working on important projects. You learn about a new project that another team has kicked off, where your expertise could help them progress faster. The right thing for the organization would be for you to spend time on this new project. However, you cannot get your current work done and spend enough time on the new project. So it's necessary to convince your manager that shifting your focus is the right thing for the organization. A strong organizational network and the ability to influence people in the organization are indivisible. In general, people listen to you because they trust you, meaning you already put in the work to build that trust. But how do you earn trust so that people listen to you? In Part 3, Chapter 12, Collaboration and Teamwork, we cover approaches that are helpful at senior engineer level. Here, we discuss approaches for the Staff Plus level. Earn trust capital. Much rests on trust capital. What are the sources of this asset in your organization? They're likely to be title and/or authority. People pay attention to colleagues with titles which convey expertise or authority, like principal engineer, distinguished engineer, director, VP of engineering, and so on. Tenure. If someone has been in the organization for a long time and is known to possess a deep understanding, then people will take their opinion seriously, even without a title or authority. Expertise. If an experienced React Native engineer joins an organization, people will most likely go to them with React Native problems, even if they lack tenure or authority. This applies to any technology area. Track record. People with less tenure and less authority can still have outsized influence if they have a track record for getting things done. Visibility of work. If you do a great job, but nobody knows it, did you do a great job? A mistake software engineers tend to make is assuming their work will speak for itself. This is often not the case. The hard truth is that good work matters less when your manager and teammates don't know what it was, how it was done, and what its impact is. The obvious way to build trust capital is to get things done over a long period of time, during which you develop a track record and tenure. Another helpful way of thinking about trust comes from Anne Raimondi, former product director at eBay. She defines trust as the sum of credibility, reliability, and authenticity, divided by the perception of self-interest. She shares more advice for increasing trust in the article, Use This Equation to Determine, Diagnose, and Repair Trust. Here are some approaches which might help to speed up the trust-building process. Ask questions and be an active listener. Invite colleagues to share their views and expertise so you can learn from them. This is especially useful if you lack information or expertise, such as when joining a new company. A senior VP of engineering whom I worked with at Skyscanner onboarded with this approach. Brian Dove told colleagues he was objectively the least knowledgeable person in the room, setting the expectation that he'd ask many questions. He did so and listened actively to the replies, asking follow-up questions and adding comments. Brian went on to become the CTO and then CEO of Skyscanner. My observation is that the approach of asking lots of questions early on helped Brian learn faster and also to build trust with engineers who saw him as a curious, down-to-earth leader and not an aloof, bossy know-it-all. Explain your point of view. Once you get the hang of how things work, try to get into the habit of expressing to peers what you think about problem areas. This could be for pull requests, during stand-ups, architecture and/or design discussions, in planning documents like RFCs, or similar. You can read more about RFCs, design documents, and ADRs by going to newsletter.pragmaticengineer.com/p/RFCs-and-design-docs. For pull requests, get into the habit of summarizing a problem you solved, notable edge cases, and things out of scope. If the change is visual, consider using images. For initial proposals, get into the habit of outlining 1. The problem as you see it. 2. Your preferred solution. 3. Known unknowns and trade-offs. Consider following the sequence of starting with a problem and ending with the trade-offs. You'll want to get people aligned with the problem first, then get buy-in for a solution, given the known unknowns and trade-offs. Follow this approach and you'll build credibility and trust. It's less important whether the solution is one you suggest or if it comes from someone else. The main thing is to choose what works best. Indeed, you can often build more trust by not going with your proposal, but encouraging or championing another option by someone else that's a better fit. Take sides in design discussions and explain your reasoning. When your team is debating design or architecture choices, engage in this process. Rather than staying silent like a disinterested arbiter, why not voice your preference and reasoning? Doing so makes you an active participant and is a great learning exercise in explaining your thinking. Of course, you need to be in the room where these discussions happen. Get invited by talking with team members, your manager, or both. Roll up your sleeves and get things done. To build trust with peers, you need to do the work, as well as listen and explain. The work will differ by role, level, and expectations. Aim to clarify these expectations and ensure your output matches or exceeds them. Make your work visible. Share the work you do with your manager, and also with teammates and stakeholders. Consider starting a work log document to make notes of tasks you do, and share it with your manager during one-on-ones. Get comfortable with sharing the business impact of your work, its challenges, and learnings. If you're a leader, consider giving weekly 5 to 15 updates to your manager, chain, and team. This means spending 15 minutes writing a document which takes 5 minutes to read and summarizes the above things. In larger organizations, you'd be surprised how useful these notes can be in bringing visibility to your work and getting feedback. Take the lead and ship initiatives. As you familiarize yourself with the organization, step up by seeking opportunities to help your team, organization, and company. Evaluate why an opportunity matters, make a plan, and involve people who support it. You will likely find yourself leading projects. With every successfully led and shipped project, you build more trust and acquire trust capital. Support others selflessly. It's hard to build trust with others if you focus only on your own work. It's equally important to support others even when there appears to be nothing in it for you. When you support something a peer is doing or trying to win support for, help them during discussions, planning, and provide positive feedback. You don't need a senior title to do this. Just be honest. Of course, there's a place for corrective feedback when you disagree with an approach, but tread lightly and avoid negative feedback in public if possible. Constructive feedback can build trust when delivered the right way, when it's clear you mean well and want to help someone and the team. Become a better writer. Especially at larger organizations, writing becomes critical at staff and above levels because written messages are read by more people, and writing is the way you reach, converse with, and influence engineers beyond your immediate group. In big workplaces, writing is essential to make your thoughts clear and decisions durable. For people to read and absorb what you write, it must be written well. You need to grab people's attention and explain your thoughts clearly and concisely. By writing well, you scale your ability to communicate effectively with multiple teams and organizations across the company. And the ability to communicate and influence beyond your immediate team is table stakes for Staff Plus engineers. So how do you get better at writing? This topic is outside the scope of this book, but you can find practical examples in the bonus chapter, Becoming a Better Writer as a Software Engineer, by visiting pragmaticurl.com/bonus-5. 3. Collaborating with managers. Staff Plus engineers tend to have a unique relationship with engineering managers. This is because a Staff Plus engineer and an engineering manager usually have similar spheres of influence, but slightly different focuses. To view an illustration visualizing how Staff Plus engineers and engineering managers typically allocate time and how they differ and/or overlap, please visit engguidebook.com/audiobook. Staff Plus engineers and engineering managers spend a good amount of time on strategy and alignment. So it's only logical to aim to partner with engineering managers, especially ones whose teams you support. Be clear with engineering managers that you're on their team. It should be obvious to managers whose teams you support, including your own manager, that you work with them to support their teams. So take time to talk with them, understand how they work, and figure out how you can collaborate. Avoid stepping on engineering managers' toes. Both Staff Plus engineers and engineering managers help align teams, and you could be in situations where your decisions override another manager, or feel that a manager is overriding yours. If so, do what you would do if this happened with a peer Staff Plus engineer. Take the discussion private and talk through how the two of you can row in the same direction. It's smart to avoid these differences playing out in front of less experienced engineers. Build up trust with other managers. You want to get to the point where other managers treat you as a partner and vice versa. Achieving this involves building trust and proving people can rely on you. Start building trust with your own manager. Have a frank discussion about responsibilities and figure out where you can take on some of their workload, be it coordinating an engineering effort, leading a project, or unblocking the team with a tricky dependency. Tell your manager that your goal is to be a true ally in engineering-related matters. 4. Collaborating with Staff Plus peers. To be an efficient Staff Plus engineer, you need to work well with your team, business stakeholders, and other managers, but also with your peers, fellow Staff Plus engineers. Get to know Staff Plus folks face-to-face. If you can introduce yourself in person, do this. Learn about what they do, tell them about yourself, and discuss how you can help each other. These kinds of personal relationships can go a long way. If you're in a remote setting, aim to do the same in a video call. Join a Staff Plus community or create one. In some companies, there are Staff Plus communities where you can interact with peers regularly. For example, Amazon famously has a strong principal engineering community, and in the early years, all principal engineers met at an annual offsite, had weekly lunches, and a company-wide tech talk series. If your company does not yet have a Staff Plus community, consider organizing one for your immediate peers at least. This could be as easy as a regular discussion session. Such a community is helpful for all Staff Plus engineers because this role raises as many questions for other folks in the organization as for you. You can get ideas for activities you could organize from Amazon by visiting pragmaticurl.com/amazon-principal-engineers. Be aware that collaborating with Staff Plus archetypes is different. Engineering executive and author Will Larson, who wrote the books Staff Engineer and An Elegant Puzzle, identified 4 staff engineer archetypes. Tech lead, guiding the approach and execution of a particular team. Architect, responsible for the direction, quality, and approach within a critical area. Solver, someone who digs deep into complex problems and finds a path forward. Right hand, borrows their engineering executive's scope and authority to operate in complex organizations. Collaborating with a tech lead who leads projects is different from working with an architect or right hand. So figure out what Staff Plus archetype you might be and which fellow Staff Plus engineers you could align with. 5. Expanding your network. Your network of people with whom you share mutual trust makes a difference in how efficient you are at finding allies and wielding influence. Here are some ways to grow your network. Find yourself a mentor in the organization. Even as a Staff Plus engineer, you should still seek people to learn from, who can be advisors or allies when you need to get things done. These people don't have to be engineers. They could be engineering leaders, product people, or even executives like the CTO. Mentorship can be informal, for example, by working on a project with a more experienced colleague. Some organizations run formal mentorship programs. Work on cross-team projects. The best way to network is to not network, but just spend extended time with people in other teams. This happens naturally when working on shared projects. As a Staff Plus engineer, such projects often come with the job. If not, seek ways to get involved. When working with others, try to make time to get to know them better, as you might build a connection which lasts much longer than any project. Attend internal trainings. At larger companies, internal trainings are an underrated way to build a network. This is especially true for managers' managerial training and in-person training events. When I was at Uber, I met a good number of managers from non-tech areas at training sessions, and talking with them opened my eyes to how other parts of the business worked. I also made connections whom I could reach out to later and share ideas with. In general, internal training brings together people with similar interests and provides a shared experience, which is a springboard for further conversations. Meet people outside your team. Talk to colleagues at company events and offsites, or even when just having lunch if you work in an office. Utilize employee resource groups and take part in cross-organizational initiatives. The more people you meet beyond your team, the more likely you'll build lasting connections. These are increasingly important as you climb the career ladder. Network and influence are connected. In order to influence people, they must first trust you. This is achieved by getting things done and helping colleagues. Your network helps your career well beyond your current workplace. People you share trust with can provide introductions and referrals at other companies in the future, or help you get interviews for positions not listed publicly, or skip introductory interviews. The challenge of a strong network is that it takes years to build. It's made of accumulated goodwill, trust, and hard work invested into professional relationships over time. The best way to build a strong network today is to help people, do good work, and build a reputation as someone who gets things done, helps those around them, and uses influence positively. 6. Helping others. As a Staff Plus engineer, you are one of the more experienced engineers in the organization. You have the knowledge and influence to meaningfully help colleagues. So do this. Mentor others. Mentoring is about guiding someone, sharing your knowledge, and helping them grow. As a Staff Plus engineer, you have plenty of experience which can help others grow faster. Mentoring doesn't need to be formal. It can be as easy as offering to help new joiners get up to speed. By getting into the habit of helping others grow while expecting nothing in return, you will improve your ability to teach and explain. If you keep mentoring and helping others over time, you're likely to build up a reputation as someone whom senior and above engineers can seek out for advice. We cover mentoring in Part 3, Chapter 12, Collaboration and Teamwork, and also in the article, Mentoring Software Engineers, which you can find at blog.pragmaticengineer.com/developers-mentoring-other-developers. Sponsor others. Sponsoring takes things a step further than mentoring. It means advocating for someone and leveraging your position to benefit their career. As a Staff Plus engineer, your influence reaches managers and business stakeholders. You can and should use it to sponsor engineers whose careers you can help. Sponsorship can involve bringing visibility to great work. You see an engineer doing outstanding work and going beyond the call of duty, but their manager seems oblivious. You opt to sponsor this person and bring visibility to their work. For example, by inviting them to present their project at a group meeting. Lending support for promotions. You believe someone you sponsor is operating at the next level, but it seems they won't be considered for promotion. You can talk with their manager and fellow managers to highlight that this person is ready for the next step and give your support for this. Bringing people so they are in the room. You're involved in a complex project in its planning phase. You could handle this yourself, but recognize it's a fantastic opportunity for a colleague whom you sponsor. Invite them in so they can be present and have input into key decisions made. Advocating for projects. When your manager is discussing which engineer should lead which project, you can advocate for the person you sponsor to take a leading role. If the manager pushes back, try offering to get partially involved yourself. Speaking up. As a Staff Plus engineer, you may attend closed meetings like performance calibrations. In these meetings, ensure the work and achievements of the people you sponsor aren't overlooked. Mentorship and sponsorship often overlap. It's common for an engineer's mentor to become their sponsor over time. but it's also possible to sponsor individuals without being a mentor.